So I was on my way to Ruidoso, I think it was probably a year ago, or maybe 2 years ago. I was with my family, we were in the car, and as we're going up to Ruidoso, I just passed Tularosa, and so there's this dead space between Tularosa and Mescalera. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Just easy driving. And so then all of a sudden, I get in this conversation, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not the most aware driver. And so I get in this conversation. I don't know if it's my wife, with my kids, maybe we have the stereo on. And slowly and surely, has this ever happened to you? Your right foot starts to just get, you know, more tired, and you just start speeding up, and you're not really paying attention, and you just keep going faster and faster. And so I'm humming along there, and apparently I was going too fast because there were some lights behind me. But I didn't see the lights. I was too distracted. And so I just kept driving, going faster than I should, and the cop behind me lost his patience with me and drove around and pulled his window down, and he was, like, pointing. And I'm like, hi. You know, I'm like, you know, it's good to see you, sir. No, and I'm like, oh. And I look down. I'm going too fast. I'm like, oh, no. You know that your stomach, you're like, oh, no. And I'm thinking, okay, how much is the ticket going to be? My insurance is going to go up. And so I pull over to the side, but I don't know. For some reason, I must have had the favor of God on my life, because instead of pulling me over, he's about to go behind me and, you know, pull me over. And so I go on the shoulder. He turns his lights on and goes the other way. I'm like, okay, how long am I supposed to wait? So I waited 30 seconds and kept going. I think that's enough time, right? So he must have got called on. And I got to tell you, now let me say, was I now at the rest of the trip going to Ruidoso, was my eyes on the speedometer for the rest of the trip? Absolutely, because I just wasn't aware. And I feel like that this message, this teaching series that we're going to do called White Noise, will be that cop for me and for you to kind of do the pointing thing and to bring about awareness in an area of our life that sometimes, and I believe a lot of us, may have overlooked. And so I think this series could do something for us to help bring awareness in this area as we talk about white noise. And so what is white noise? Well, white noise is a form of sound masking. Now, if you're familiar with work in any kind of cubicle, big space with lots of cubicles, a lot of times businesses will pipe in white noise because, man, if you didn't, you could hear every conversation and everything going on, and sometimes you just need that white noise to help you focus on what's needing to be focused on. In fact, maybe some of you in here, you like to sleep with white noise on. How many like to listen to the rain on your phone or... It's kind of a weird thing. Like, I still have ocean waves tonight. And so you play ocean waves and it puts you to sleep. You need that kind of, for some of us to sleep, we need kind of that sound masking, because you don't want anything, if there's a neighbor's dog that's barking, you want to be in your own zone. For me, I like white noise when I travel by myself, like when I'm flying by myself. And I know some people are like, well, Justin, that's fun. You go to the airport, you like to people watch. When I people watch, I just get people annoyed. So I just get in my own world, and I just listen to music or something, just kind of get through the hectic travel thing, right? But white noise, in a sense, masks unwanted sounds. That's what it does. It masks those unwanted sounds. We don't want to hear those sounds either in the cubicle or while we're sleeping or while we're traveling. And so we have some kind of white noise to mask the unwanted sounds. And so I began to think, well, what are the things that we use to mask unwanted emotions? What are the things in our life that we like to lean to bring about a distraction, to mask the unwanted emotion so we don't have to deal with the unwanted emotion? Let me give you an example. Think back to your school days. And have you ever been in that moment where you're sitting in front of a laptop or in front of a blank piece of paper and you're supposed to write a paper, and you're sitting there and you got your pen, you got your coffee, and you're about to go and you have nothing to write? How many have ever done that? And you're just, and it, all of a sudden, This happens to me. When I have nothing to write, I'm not prepared to write anything, all of a sudden, anxiety starts to creep up. And what do I do to just not mess with the anxiety? I will do whatever I can other than write the paper. I will go rearrange my shoes. I will clear off my laptop. I will take everything out of my email box and all that kind of different stuff to try to do anything but actually deal with the emotion or actually write the paper. And it just brings on more anxiety because the due date still doesn't change, even though you deal with that. So my question to you is, what do we do? What do we use? What do you use to mask unwanted emotion? Now, I put this on Facebook, no doubt, because I was like, you know what? I have some things that I do to mask unwanted emotion. But what about everyone in cyber world? And so I put that out there, and I thought, you know, it'd be cool if we actually got to participate. So this is going to be a little outside the box here. I want you, I'm going to give you 20 seconds, and I want you to talk to your neighbor and ask them, what do you use to mask unwanted emotion? Now, if you're sitting there going, Justin, I can't do that. That's just, I got to talk to somebody. If that bugs you, just bow your head and they'll think you're praying. And so then they won't talk to you, okay? So we're going to put 20 seconds on the clock. Ready and go. 20 seconds. Three, two, one. Pencils down. All right. Good job. So this is the challenge. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to list some of the things that people in the social media world, cyber world, said. And if you said that too, I want you to either do a kind of a head nod, or if you're kind of old school, go, mm-hmm, like that was me. I did that. You may raise a hand and surrender, whatever you want to do. Let me know if this is one of those things that you do to mask unwanted emotion. So let's start with the first one, and the first one is social media. Anybody? Right. Actually, they're on social media right now is what's happening. Isn't it interesting? Many times people use social media, and it was funny, I was asking this question on social media. And many people were saying, yeah, social media, it's a way to kind of distract what's going on in my life. It's a distract kind of it's an emotional break. And studies have shown, and this is very interesting, and I don't think it gets a whole lot of airtime, that the more you're on Facebook or any other Twitter or Instagram, the more you're on Facebook, the more likely you are to be depressed. And the less you're on Facebook, the less likely you are to be depressed. And it's an interesting study. The more you find it, and the more you set yourself up with dealing with these unwanted emotions. What about TV? Anybody said TV? Mm-hmm. What's interesting is before, in the Stone Age, you had to literally look at the schedule, and they had things called the TV guide. You all remember those. And you had to find your show and when, and if you couldn't, you would record it on this thing called a VCR. You may not know what I'm talking about. We don't do that anymore. Instant, we don't say, I want to watch a show. We're like, I want to watch a season. Anybody with me? I'm going to watch an entire season. Oh, did you watch one season of Flash? Yeah, watch the third season. Somebody's really fired up about Flash, right? And it's so easy. I mean, you just binge watch, and then you're like, wow, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's in the middle of this. So TV, you can get so lost in TV world. What about shopping? Oh, no, someone's pointing. That's not nice. Shopping. Shopping, I've heard, can be a thing where you feel good. If you're like, you're feeling down, shopping picks you up, right? How many have ever shopped because, not because you needed something, but because you were bored? Yeah, there's some people, I appreciate the honesty here. Shopping, absolutely. All right, what about drinking? We don't need anyone to, you know, talk about this, but drinking. Let's just be honest. Drinking can be a way. It takes the edge off drinking. What about work? Work is something we dive into that can easily disguise and easily keep us distracted. If we're dealing with some emotions, we don't want to deal with them, and we can put our head right into work and be good. What about a phone? This is interesting. Did you know, and I did some research by the D-Scout research firm, they said the average, this is average person touches their phone 2,617 times. And some of you are like, no, I'm going to look that up. I don't agree with that. 2,618 times. And that's average. Some people, they said even some on heavy phone users that may need counseling, you up to 5,000 times a day. So it's just fascinating that we have technology that can aid us in keeping us from actually dealing with unwanted emotions. We can distract ourselves. And what about online gaming? Did anyone say online gaming? No, they're playing on, you know, gaming online right now, right? Online gaming is just another thing. So my question in all this is simply this. What is the result of never feeling or dealing with unwanted emotions? What is the result of never dealing with this? So if we find ourselves with, because of technology, because of all these different things that we can, that aids us and helps us not, never deal with those unwanted emotions, what is the result? I would say it's emotional incompetence. Do we find ourselves, because we can be so distracted and never have to deal with the sadness, never have to deal with the boredom, never have to deal with the anxiety, never have to deal with it, do we run the risk of becoming so emotionally incompetent, so emotionally neutered, so emotionally never feel the highs or the lows, but so maintain? I think there are some major implications for never dealing with those emotions. Some major implications, and I just began to just think of the different things that it could imply, and that is this: what does it mean for raising kids? If we're emotionally incompetent because we never want to deal with these unwanted emotions, then what happens when all of a sudden our kids have some unwanted emotions? Is it just as easy for us to say, oh, you're upset? Here, look at a screen. Do we find ourselves looking for these aids and these tools to help us, but never actually helping them deal with that? I mean, do we run the risk? What's another? Are we losing? Now, this is good. Are we losing the ability to be fully present in the moment? Now, what do I mean by that? I mean this. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and the whole time they were distracted and they might have been listening to you, but they gave you no indication that they were? I mean, they weren't engaged in the conversation. They were just doing whatever else they were doing. They weren't fully present. Now, what happens when we feel, if we're fully distracted all the time, can you ever be fully present? Can you be fully present if you're continually distracted? And I guess the question is this. What happens when we find ourselves, and let me give an example, like if you find yourself in a car and you're going along the highway and all of a sudden something's squeaking, you know, or the transmission, and you're like, what is that? I don't think I need to deal with it. Just turn the radio on. Now, we would say, we laugh because we're like, well, that person's an idiot. But how many of us do that in our life? There's issues, there's something wrong, but we're just turning the radio up. And so, what could potentially be lost if we live in constant distraction? And I guess I want to ask this question, especially if you're a Christian. What does God want for us? Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you're just kind of checking this out, and you're like, I don't even believe in God. Well, then I would even have you ask yourself, well, what do you want for you? Do you really want to live in a world, in your life, completely distracted, never dealing with the highs and lows, the unwanted emotions in your life? And if you're a Christian, I think we need to ask this question. Does God really want you and I to be in a place where we're almost emotionally numb because we've never learned to deal with our unwanted emotions? Now, if that's ever been you, And I find myself distracted a lot too. But if that's ever been you, then you're not alone. In fact, we're going to be looking at several places in the scriptures that are going to help us. That's why I love the scriptures. They help us determine how can we move beyond this? How can we be fully aware and be able to deal with those unwanted emotions? And if you've ever been distracted, well, you're in good company, because there's a man in the Bible named Jacob, and he was very distracted. And it was all because of his doing. In fact, he did in such a way, he swindled an inheritance away from his older brother and a blessing from his older brother. And so he's on the run because his older brother's like, I don't appreciate it. I'm coming after you. And so Jacob is on the run, and he's with his caravan of folks, and he's on the run, and he's on his way to his uncle's house. Isn't that what you do when you're in trouble? You go see uncle, right? And he's on his way to his uncle's house, but he needs to break down for camp about halfway through. And so he breaks camp, and he decides to just have a camp, you know, site there and just go to sleep. And as he's asleep, all of a sudden he gets a vision. Now, this is an awesome vision. Guys, you're going to want to pay attention to this. He had a vision of a stairway to heaven. This was the original stairway to heaven, by the way. And in this vision, God spoke to him and, in a sense, reaffirmed that even though he swindled his way into this, and even though he was on the run, God said, I still have a destiny. I still have a plan for your life. Really got his attention. And then, this is where the scripture picks up. It says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, now get what he said. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. I got to tell you, I absolutely love this scripture, and that scripture comes to my mind more times than not. Because I wonder how many times I go through life and I miss opportunities, God-ordained opportunities, just because I was too distracted. I miss God-ordained moments, and I was just too distracted. In fact, he said this. He says, when I was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And I think if I feel that way, if Jacob felt that way, that he almost missed an opportunity, I wonder how many times either we almost miss or miss opportunities because we're absolutely too distracted to hear God. We're on our phone checking whatever. And we may have missed opportunities at what God wants to do in and around us, but we're just too distracted. The white noise has been cranked up so much that we could be like Jacob going, wow, God was in this place and I almost missed it. I wonder how many of us have actually missed opportunities. And so Jesus comes around, and he explains and talks to us on this level. In fact, he says, he teaches us about this idea of being aware and bringing about clarity. In one of his most famous sermons in Matthew chapter 5, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, and it's called a Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed, I love it's Makarios, which means happy, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is fascinating. I'm just, wow, that is so deep for us. Because you know what Jesus just said? Jesus put a correlation between purity and clarity. Purity and clarity. I can't tell you how many times, and I've said it myself, when I said, I just feel like I can't see God in this. How many of you have ever said that, right? I just can't, in this situation, in this moment, I just can't see God. And my question to us, and for all of us, would be simply this. If you can't see God, is there possibility that you have hidden an area in your life from God, and that's why you can't see God? In a sense, are we saying, like, God, I want to be clear on a lot of things, but I want to keep this thing away from you? Are we hiding an area in our life away from God? And if we're hiding an area in our life away from God, And then all of a sudden we're like, God, I can't see you. He's like, well, I'm trying to be evident, but if you're hiding an area in your life, could that possibly cloud the rest of your life with his guidance? And so Jesus basically said, look, you want to have clarity? You want to move from cloudiness to clarity? Then you got to have purity. There's got to be an issue. You got to deal with the stuff in your life. Be clear. And I would say this, to the degree in which we mask our emotions, we remain unable to see God. Because in a sense, that's what we're saying. If we don't want to deal with our emotions, we're definitely not willing for God to deal with our unwanted emotions. If we're trying to distract ourselves from our unwanted emotions, that is definitely not giving an invitation to our Heavenly Father that says, I want to help you deal with those unwanted emotions. But to the degree we mask our emotions, we remain unable to see God. And I don't know about you, but I want clarity in my life. But if I go along with this distracted, trying to keep myself masking these unwanted emotions, I won't have that clarity that I so desperately want. And so then Jesus later on, in one chapter later, really lays out to his disciples how to start gaining that clarity. Not only having that purity, but how do we, okay, Justin, I really want clarity in my life. How do I start there? And so Jesus was actually teaching us about this thing called prayer, right? I mean, we understand it in church. We pray, right? But his disciples came to Jesus. It wasn't like on Jesus' teaching plan here that his disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And then Jesus, I mean, in a sense, the disciples were like, we heard you praying and we don't think we're doing it right. Have you ever thought that? Like, I don't know if I'm praying right, right? And so Jesus is like, okay, I'll explain to you. And then Jesus gives the most famous of all prayers, right? Our Father who art in heaven. And then he goes on. But we all know the Lord's Prayer, but rarely do we ever talk about the verse before the Lord's Prayer. And this is what he said about praying. But when you pray, so if you're a Christian, that's not if, okay? That's when. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Now, pause right there. I don't know about you, but a lot of us in here only pray before a meal, right? And you pray, God bless this food, and aren't you praying the calories out of the food? Is that what you do? Or is that just me, right? And we pray in groups, we pray in church, but how many of us pray behind a closed door? Is there something missing? Now, it's great to pray before a meal. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's real good to do. It's great to pray in church. It's great to pray in a group. But do we miss something as Christians? Do we miss something in our faith, a key element in our faith that needs to be daily present if we don't pray behind a closed door? Praying to a God who is unseen, but get this, he says this, that then your Father who sees, though he's unseen, he sees us, and what is done in secret will reward you. If there is a reward that happens for those that say, yeah, I'm going to pray for my food. Yeah, I'm going to pray in church. But I'm going to spend time daily. I'm going to close the door, be in a room, have a moment of quietness, and in a sense, be mindful and prepare myself to pray to my Heavenly Father in a quiet room. And you're thinking, Justin, that's crazy. Who has time? I'm saying that if we don't do this, is it any reason why we have a problem seeing God? Do we have problems not dealing with the unwanted emotions because we've never given it time to deal with it? And could it be that the very reward that Jesus is talking about is the very thing that we so desperately want, and that is clarity? We say we want clarity, but are we willing to sacrifice for clarity? Take 10 minutes in a room and just close the door and say, God, I just want to pause and just be quiet and be still before you. Now a psalmist said this in Psalm 46. He says this as he's getting this revelation from God. This is what God told the psalmist in Psalms 46. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Is there a correlation? Is there something to that you're not going to know God till you're willing to be still? Is there something to closing ourselves off, turning down the noise, turning down the electronics, and just focusing on and just say, God, I'm just going to sit here and be still because I want to know you. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. What a great reminder. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Have we ever had time? Do we have time set aside where we're just behind closed doors, be still, and just pray to our Heavenly Father so that we could know Him? That's important for us. But what are these unwanted emotions? What are these things that we're trying to run from? Can we kind of talk about that a little bit? Maybe for some of us, it's fear, right? When you started thinking, well, if I'm getting away from unwanted emotions, Justin, I got to be honest with you, it's fear. Fear of a lot of different things. I don't want to deal with emotion of fear, and so I'm just going to distract myself from it. Maybe it's anger. Now, some of you are thinking, well, Justin, what do you want me to do, blow up in front of everybody? No, and I'm glad you're restraining yourself, right? But if you distract yourself from anger, doesn't mean you're dealing with anger. You're not dealing with the emotion. It's you're just kind of turning up the white noise and never dealing with it. Maybe it's boredom. I mean, we rarely talk about this, but have you ever thought of you distracting yourself so you're not bored, but have you ever sat there and faced boredom square in the face and said, why am I bored? Is this hiding a different issue in my life? Is there a problem that is there just something in me? Am I not willing to face this emotion of boredom? For some of us in here, I know this to be true, anxiety. What about anxiety when it comes to that when you get worked up and instead of trying to work and try to deal with it, you just want to distract yourself. And so instead of dealing with the emotion, we just turn up the white noise. It's a little bit louder and we're having a hard time hearing things, but we don't want to deal with the emotion of anxiety. Maybe for some, this is ugly, loneliness. Who wants to feel loneliness? And so we may be bounced from relationship to relationship to keep ourselves distracted because, honestly, loneliness is a hard issue and we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with the emotion, so we keep turning up the white noise and we can't hear what's going on. We keep ourselves distracted. Maybe this one, inadequacy, that's ugly. Inadequacy, right? Inadequacy is a thing in our life where we say we're not good enough, but we never want to say it out loud. So we want to distract ourselves from one thing to another, to binge watch to another thing, and maybe drink ourselves. So we keep turning up the white noise, and maybe the loudest of all, pain. Who wants to deal with pain? We're just rushing from the pain that we felt, and we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with it, so we keep running from it. We keep turning up the white noise. We don't want to have to deal with the painful emotion, but what if God said, I just want you to stop? And you had a moment. Some of you are like, talk. This is uncomfortable. Have we become so emotionally incompetent that silence bothers us? And if silence is bothering us, will we ever give space to allow God to help you and I deal with our emotions? So what is this series all about? Deal with your emotions. Before your emotions deal with you. If you're sitting there, well, but Justin, it's my emotions. Can I tell you, it never just stops with you, doesn't it? I say deal with your emotional noise before your emotional noise wreaks havoc on others in your life. Have you ever had a father, have you ever had a friend who never dealt with their anger? And you feel the shrapnel from that anger, never dealt with the emotions of that anger, and they don't know how to deal with it? I mean, it's ugly. What about a mom that's never dealt with her inadequacies and dealt with the emotions that deal with that? Just keep just put it to the side. Keep putting it to the side. And at some point, it's going to come to the surface. Or maybe have you ever dated someone who's never dealt with loneliness? It can run havoc on lives and the people around you. If you're not willing to do it for you, then you should be willing to do it for others, to deal with the unwanted emotions. And I've got great news for you. When you say, I'm ready to start dealing with my emotions, you have a Heavenly Father that says, I'm ready to help you also. That's an invitation. When you're starting to deal with your emotion, unwanted emotions, that's an invitation to allow me to come in and help you deal with your unwanted emotions. Amen. Now, here's white noise challenge. There's some three things that I kind of give some practicality. Now, we're going to be dealing with a little bit more deeper in the next couple of weeks about these emotions and how to deal with them. But right now, I think until we start dealing with the distractions, we can't really deal with the emotions. So the first of the white noise challenge is first identify your white noise. This is kind of our homework this week. Identify what is that thing? It could be shopping. It could be binge watching on Netflix. It could be whatever it is. What is that thing that you go to? What's your go-to distraction when you start feeling the emotion you're trying to avoid? What's your go-to? Just identify it. I'm not even telling you to do anything with it yet. That's step two, but let's get ahead of ourselves. But just identify it. What is that go-to? What is your white noise? And then step two, so we're here, so identified it. Then I want you to experiment with limiting the white noise. It's like, okay, Justin, for me, I have to admit, it's Facebook. So let's experiment limiting it in your life. What if, this is going to be crazy, okay? Hold on. What if you went for like a week fast from Facebook? Like, oh, what would the world do without my funny post? I think we'll survive. Maybe. But just try. Give yourself enough space this week and allow God to maybe speak to you because you've been having a hard time listening. Well, could you listen with all that noise? And we wonder why we don't have freedom. We wonder why we're walking around with no peace because we're just a distracted people. So I want you to experiment. Maybe for some, maybe it's your phone. And this is just something that, and by no means am I saying that I'm holier than thou or anything, but my family, we do a thing, I call it the EMP in the house. And it's scientific, electronic pulse, whatever. But it's the EMP. We have 2 hours in which we put all electronics up because my kids are of the age where they have their electronics, and before you know it, we're the family of the, you know, that's us. So there's 2 hours in which it's like no electronics. And sometimes it's a little awkward because we're just sitting there looking at each other. Hey, how was school? How was work? You know, and I even see it in my own life to be able to limit the noise. What if you did something like that? What if you had a family challenge and don't tell your kids that I said this because they're going to hate me. But maybe say, kids, for the next week, we're going to have like 2 hours in which we don't have electronics. Maybe some of you just like, let's start with 10 minutes. Okay, do whatever you need to do, right? 10 minutes, I need my phone, right? But maybe just experiment. Do something. Whatever your white noise is, just experiment with limiting it this week? Because there's a reason. There's a reason for that, and it's for this one. And then when you're limiting it, I want you to be intentional to listening to what it's masking. Because now you're giving some margin in your day. You're given some space in your time and a space within the white noise. And there's a break of silence. There's a break of stillness. And I want you just to be intentional and go, what is this white noise, this phone, this TV, this, what is this thing masking in my life? And then maybe God would bring up something in your life, an unwanted emotion, maybe sadness, a boredom, anxiety that you haven't even wanted to deal with. Maybe God wants to bring it up in your life and say, let's start dealing with this emotion today. And I think then, this is a great question. How would God want me to deal directly with this emotion? How would God want me to deal directly with this emotion? And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be dealing with two specific emotions that we tend to just skip over, not even give a second thought, but maybe, just maybe, God will bring about a healing in our life if we pause long enough and say, God, I'm going to turn down the white noise of my life and allow you an invitation to start dealing with these unwanted emotions. If we could all stand up at this time. Let me pray for us, as maybe some of us, I just pray that God will just, you know, help you come up with a plan for this week to limiting the white noise. Because I believe that maybe you're on the precipice of a miracle in your own life emotionally. And I don't want you to be like Jacob. Walk by and say, I almost missed it. God was surely in that moment. God was surely there. And I almost missed it. I don't want us to miss that moment. And it could be that moment this week. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bring this to a close, Lord, I imagine there's a lot of things going on in our mind and a lot of things that we're wondering, you know, what is that unwanted emotion? God, I pray that you'll bring about a wisdom to us. I pray, Lord, that whatever efforts we put forth, that you will bless those efforts. I pray that you will help us, because, Lord, I don't know what's going on in everyone's life, and maybe some of us are dealing with anxiety, and it's just eating away, but they don't want to ever deal with it, and so they keep distracted, or maybe it's boredom, or maybe it's sadness, maybe it's depression, and Lord, maybe, just maybe, that in this week, if we turn down that white noise, maybe for the first time, we'll be able to hear a still, small voice whispering into our ear, helping us and moving us along to a place where we can be fully present and be fully healed and whole, God, as we turn down the distractions this week. God, give us boldness, give us courage, Lord. Because maybe that's exactly what we need to do this week. Maybe we're just inches from the miracle that you'll do in our heart and our life. May we be fully present. May we invite you into every area of our life, even the unwanted emotions. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.